It was already mentioned previously, and the worship team was acknowledged for how you blessed us this morning to take us into God's presence. Things that struck me, one was that we are here, and then the chorus, you are here, and it's all about Him. And then to recognize His holiness, that we have no right to stand before our holy God, one who is set apart, one who is so much greater than us, and yet He loves us anyway and invites us to be in relationship with Him. So this morning, and by the way, shalom in our Messiah, Jesus, the Savior of the world, the one that provided us that redemption and allows us to have a relationship with Him. My message this morning is we walk with a limp. A while back, I was reading in the book of Genesis and found myself getting quite upset with Jacob. The second son of Isaac, Jacob, stole his brother's birthright and his father's blessing. Fearing Esau might kill him, Jacob fled to Haran, which is located in present-day Turkey, about 3,300 miles away from Beersheba, his hometown. Long way to flee. On his journey, Jacob prayed this: "If God will be with me and will watch over me on this journey I am taking, and will give me food to eat, clothes to wear, so that I can return safely to my father's house, then the Lord will be my God, and this stone that I have set up as a pillar will be God's house, and of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth." His prayer was conditional. God, if you do this for me, then I will do this for you. After arriving at Uncle Laban's home in Haran, the drama continued. Jacob labored for 7 years to be able to marry Laban's daughter, Rachel. Laban tricked Jacob and gave him his older daughter, Leah, instead. Jacob worked 7 more years so he could marry Rachel. Then more drama. Leah has children. Rachel is barren. Rachel gives her maidservant to Jacob. Leah stops having children and gives Jacob her maidservant. Leah has more children. Rachel finally has a son. Jacob then deceives Laban to increase his own flock, and then he runs away. Jacob wasn't such a good guy. Reading about Jacob bothered me, and then I realized something. I'm Jacob. I'm no better than he was. In fact, if my life to this point was recorded in Scripture, people would read about me and be just as upset. Perhaps you can identify. Later, Jacob wrestled with God until daybreak, and the socket of his hip was touched and wrenched. Jacob wouldn't let go until he received a blessing, and his name was changed from Jacob to Israel, which means he struggled with God. Jacob received a blessing, but went away limping because of his hip. All of us, like Jacob, are flawed, and we walk with a limp. The same was true for the Apostle Paul. Widely considered the greatest missionary of all time, Paul was a persecutor of the church. Even after his coming to faith, he referred to himself as the chief of sinners. He walked with a limp. To the believers in Corinth, in 2 Corinthians 12, he wrote, "So to keep me from becoming conceited because of the surpassing greatness of the revelations, a thorn was given to me in the flesh, a messenger of Satan to harass me, to keep me from becoming conceited. Three times I pleaded with the Lord about this, that he would leave me. But he said to me, my grace is sufficient for you, for my power is made perfect in weakness. Therefore, I will boast all the more greatly of my weaknesses, so that the power of Christ may rest upon me. For the sake of Christ, then, I am content with weaknesses, insults, hardships, persecutions, and calamities. For when I am weak, then I am strong. Like all of us, Paul needed a reminder of his own weaknesses and inadequacies and his utter dependence on God. This came as his thorn in the flesh. We don't know what it was, but it really doesn't matter. It was his limp. Your limp might be physical pain or illness, a financial crisis, the suffering of the loss of a loved one. It might be the emotional pain that comes from broken relationships, rejection, loneliness, stress, slander, gossip, being misunderstood, unjust criticism. There's all kinds of things that come at us in this way. We live in a fallen world, full of sin and pain. The Yiddish word for it is suras, grief, pain, misery. And all of those things affect each one of us in various ways. It could be that your limp comes from suffering with the pain of sin or guilt or temptation, or it might be struggling with an area of behavior that you can't seem to shake, such as impatience, anger, resentment, or not being able to forgive someone who has hurt you. We all walk with a limp. If we were strong and self-sufficient and without fault, there would be no need for God's help. We wouldn't need to be here. However, we know this isn't the case, and we desperately need his grace to cover every area of our lives. When we gather as believers in Jesus, we not only come to worship our King, and oh, did we get to do that this morning. And even in the lyrics, it talked about God being our King and the Holy One, the one who was set apart, that we could not even approach him without his grace. But so we come here to praise and worship our King, but we also come to acknowledge our shortcomings. And didn't we do that? As we were receiving communion, we took time to, as Gary had suggested that we do, that we take time to reflect on how we have fallen short of the holiness of God. So we acknowledge the shortcomings, and we come also not only just to acknowledge the shortcomings, but to receive the assurance that our sins are forgiven. They're covered. And the word for covering in Hebrew is kapur, kapura, and to cover. And our sins are covered, or they are forgiven because of what Jesus has done for the cross. We know that our sins are forgiven, they're removed as far as the east from the west, and that we can stand with confidence before our King, knowing that we are free. But following worship this morning, we return to the a sinful world filled with the problems and struggles that come with it, including whatever has is causing our limp. Paul took his trouble to God's throne of grace. He asked the Lord to remove his thorn, and God replaced it with something even better. He replaced it with his grace and his power. Paul came to recognize that his limp provided God with the opportunity to make him strong. He turned his weakness over to the Lord and received grace and power in return. That's something that we can take to heart and we can do. Lord, I hand over to you my sin and guilt. and he forgives me. Lord, I hand to you, over to you, my failure, and he causes me to grow from it. Lord, I hand over to you my rejection, and he provides me with his acceptance. Lord, I give you my loneliness, and he gives me his presence. Lord, I hand over to you my helplessness, and you give me hope. Lord, I hand over to you my weakness, and you give me strength. Yes, all of us are tainted and unworthy, like Jacob. Each one of us have thorns in the flesh, like Paul. Rather than despair, let's remember, like we sang this morning and was emphasized, that he's the remedy. He's the remedy. Let's not despair. Let's remember it's not about us. It's about him and about what he has done for us. Something that we could never, ever, ever do for ourselves. He did it for us. So fellow limpers, though we struggle like Jacob, we struggle like Paul, and like countless others. God is faithful. He changes not, and his promises are always true. As we leave here in our time of worship today, and leave here being reminded that our sins are forgiven, and we leave here going out into a world that is causing us to limp, let us take heart these words to us from God himself. My grace is sufficient for you. My power is made perfect in weakness. Let's pray. Lord, thank you so much for the opportunity to come into your presence today. Lord, you are holy. We're not. We need you. We need the remedy. We need the kapora. We need the covering. We need you, Lord. We can't do this on our own. Please continue to give us grace and power to walk with our limp and to look to you, our only hope. In Jesus' name, amen.